time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Sunday morning, time for Abandoned Manitoba, and Gordon Goldsborough is here with us. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So remind us the clue from last week.
Well, I asked you if you recall the song line, the line, "Get Your Kicks on Route 66.
And we just played it in the last hour of the show. So you are now inspiring our music choices.
Okay. but you said you didn't know much about it. I thought, well, there's a good story then that we can talk about Canada's Route 66. Because, of course, Route 66 was a famous highway in the southern United States. And by comparison, we have something similar to that here in Manitoba. And I'm talking about a section of highway now partially abandoned between Whitemouth, Manitoba, and the Ontario border.
Now, you're talking about the old Trans-Canada Highway, right? Not the one we use today?
That's right, yeah. In fact, the Trans-Canada is Canada's answer to the United States Route 66. And basically, as of 1971, it connected Manitoba with the rest of the country from east to west. And in fact, if anyone's interested in this theme, there's an excellent pair of books that came out a few years ago in 2014, one of them, and then another one in 2018 that deal with the old Trans-Canada across the country. And it talks about the various ways you can go and travel. And of course, now that we're starting to get into spring, what better way to get out and see the country than to maybe drive along the Trans-Canada Highway.
So we're talking today about the TCH east of Winnipeg?
That's right. Yeah, the route that the highway took at that time, this was now starting in the 1930s, was about a 25-mile section of highway that went from, well, it kind of went north from Winnipeg up through Selkirk, across through Beausejour, then down to Whitemouth, and then kind of weaving its way through fairly rugged terrain, you know, through Rennie, for example, ended up down at Westhawk Lake, and then eventually would arrive at the Ontario border, and then from then it would go into Ontario over to Kenora. And if you look at this section of highway, well, it replaced basically the necessity to take a train, because prior to the 1930s, that was really the only way you could get to these places was by taking a train. Now that you have the Trans-Canada Highway, you can get in your car and you can drive with ease to this area.
How's the highway built?
It was built starting in the 1930s. Of course, that's the time of the Great Depression. So there's a lot of people who are unemployed. So the federal government put these people to work building highways. And so in 1932, when the construction was finished, they had this highway. It was 145 miles in length from Winnipeg, from the corner of Portage and Main out to to Kenora. It was the first, say, major highway that can connect you to this sort of what is now seen as sort of the playground area of Manitoba. What's interesting is they had a ceremony on what we call Canada Day today. It was Dominion Day back then on the 1st of July. And then just 4 days later, the highway had its first pair of hitchhikers. And just to show you how things have changed over the years, those two hitchhikers were a pair of 15-year-old boys from Winnipeg. I guess they had time off school and they thought, hey, we're going to hitchhike to Kenora and back. And boy, I don't know if that would happen today.
Yeah, I can't imagine that happening. What did the old TCH highway look like?
Well, it was hardly the kind of level, smooth, sort of multi-lane highway that we experience today. Initially, it was graveled, and eventually it was paved. Actually, it was one of the first highways to be paved, and it was not the sort of concrete paving we think of today. It was stuff called bituminous material, bituminous paving, kind of similar to asphalt, I suppose. And that was in 1937, but the highway basically followed the contours of the terrain. You know, so this is pretty rocky country. This is the Precambrian Shield. You know, and so the highway would go up and down and around turns. You know, in a few cases, they would have blasted to make it a little more level. But a lot of cases, no. It was up and down. They didn't have any shoulders to the highway. And they basically had just two lanes. And the two lanes were 12 feet wide. Well, in fact, the first plan was to make the highway only 20 feet wide. They eventually said, no, that's maybe a little bit too dangerous. They went it to 24 feet wide. But when you consider today that the Trans-Canada, you know, has good shoulders on both sides, it often ranges from 32 to 44 feet. This narrow little highway would have been pretty treacherous to drive. And well, in fact, they said that in that day, when it first opened, the travelers going from Winnipeg to Kenora should plan to spend a full day for the trip. And of course, today you can do it in, 2.5 hours, I suppose.
So could you drive across Canada as of 1932 when it opened?
No, definitely not. In fact, there was a large section of it in northwestern Ontario that was not constructed yet. I mean, that was pretty rugged terrain. And in fact, it was not until decades later that you could. So in fact, in 1949, the federal government passed what they called the Trans-Canada Highway Act. And it was essentially a statement that they intended to build this highway across the country and to finish it by 1956. Well, they didn't quite make their target. The sort of a version of the highway, not quite completed, but completed enough that you could travel most of it, opened in 1962, but it wasn't declared fully open until 1971. So they missed their target by quite a few years. But, you know, once that happened in 1971, now in a very tangible way, you know, Canada was connected, you know, that from west to east, you could explore the country and you could drive across the entire country without ever deviating into the United States. So very symbolic linkage of Canada into one nation.
When was the modern TCH built?
Well, there's interesting things, too, because, of course, the highway that I'm talking about, the one from Winnipeg East, is no longer the Trans-Canada Highway. It's actually Highway number 44. If you go west of Winnipeg, the same thing. Highway 26 through St. Francis Xavier is the old Trans-Canada Highway. So in the 1950s, I think people's expectations of highways had changed. You know, they wanted a wider highway. They wanted a straighter highway. They wanted a smoother highway. You know, and these old highways just didn't meet the grade. So they started to upgrade the modern Trans-Canada Highway that we know today through the eastern part of the province was constructed between 1952 and 1954. And of course, it took a much shorter, much more direct route than the old one. And of course, that's the road that many people now think of as the Trans-Canada Highway. But the old route is still there. And in fact, there are sections of it that are the original Trans-Canada Highway that was built back in 1932.
What do we know about that whole section?
Well, so if you really want to experience sort of the original Trans-Canada, if you're a bit adventurous, there's several things you can see. So, for example, when the original highway opened in 1932, they had a big ceremony at the border between Manitoba and Ontario. They unveiled this big monument. It was a 12-ton boulder with flags on either side, and they had a plaque on the boulder that commemorated this opening highway. Well, it's still there, the boulder. I mean, I guess it's just too big to move. So if you're just east of the Tourist Bureau on the Trans-Canada, just before you go into Ontario, on the north side of the Trans-Canada, there's a Tourist Bureau, and that's where the plaque is that was on that boulder. But if you go just a little bit beyond that, you can turn off on what looks like kind of an innocuous little highway. That's the portion of the original highway, and the original boulder is still there. It's kind of getting overgrown. It is abandoned, but you can get that sense of it. If you go out of Whitemouth, you can see there's actually a fairly lengthy stretch of highway, about 2 miles in length, where the old highway is right beside, just to the south of the current highway. And then there's a few other places. If you look closely in satellite photos, for example, you can see places where they've bypassed difficult turns and things. So there's actually quite a few places. I'm even told there's places where you can see the original highway markings going into the forest and then petering out. So quite a lot of abandonment that you can see along this stretch of highway.
But I'm guessing not drivable.
Not for very long, anyway. Better to be hiked, though. It might be an interesting sort of hike to try to hike the old Trans-Canada from Kenora to Winnipeg.
Gordon, thank you for this.
You're welcome, Nadja.
What's next week's hint?
Well, we're going to talk about a building that was often associated with grain elevators that was also associated with bad boys and girls.
Uh-oh. All right. Sounds intriguing. Thanks, Gordon.
We'll see you next week.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.